way. Makes me wanna holler, go away. I need more peace and hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world?
I need strategies, strategies for every radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for every radio. Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware. I've got strategies for living. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio.
Oh, you know we need them. We need those strategies, don't we? Those strategies for living. Hey, are you ready? You ready for your daily dose of radio rehab?
I am ready for today.
I knew you would be. Yeah. I knew you would be. Hey, folks, hope you're ready. Welcome in. Welcome into 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist, PLPC Lauren Leon McMillan. You've heard of Jacob's Ladder, have you not?
Yes, of course.
I found Jacob.
You did?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I did. I've got Jacob.
We going to meet him today?
Well, you are going to meet Jacob, and I tell you, you're going to be you're going to love this because Jacob, I'm tongue in cheek. The Jacob I'm talking about is Jacob Cooper,
right?
Who is a licensed clinical social worker and the author of Life After Breath, and his latest book is called The Wisdom of Jacob's Ladder. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about Jacob, because he had a brush with fatality, mm-hmm. and it gave him a glimpse of immortality.
Mm. As is often the case, or so we've heard.
Yeah, right? With NDEs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to love the fact that on his first book, Life After Breath, Dr. Raymond Moody, who has been a life strategist here on Strategies for Living, he's a best-selling author of Life After Life and Glimpses into Eternity. He actually, on the cover of Jacob's book, says this book, Life After Breath, is a clear, remarkable illustration that consciousness continues after death. And, you know, we talk about this some. And I'm just delighted to have Jacob Cooper as our life strategist today here on Strategies for Living.
I am, too.
I think we're going to learn a great deal from Jacob and find out more about his story and
glimpses into our whole story, perhaps.
I think you are exactly right. Folks, thank you. Thank you for being a part of Strategies for a Living. And we appreciate you being here with us. We do it for you every day. And we can do it because we have wonderful sponsors. Who are they? Well, the Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners. And Pintail Roofing.
Woof, woof.
And Learning RX. And the Balanced Life Wellness Center. And Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather. Alligator, Italian sausage, and some pretty good muffies, too. Jacob Cooper, our life strategist, author of Life After Breath. Today here on Strategies for a Living. Come back and join us. Welcome in. Welcome into 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Let's welcome into the program now a guy who is passionate about promoting healing. He's Jacob Cooper. best-selling author of Life After Breath and a sought-after speaker on grief, wisdom, and consciousness, offering inspiring seminars to help others find purpose and increased awareness. As a clinical social worker, a Reiki master, certified hypnotherapist specializing in past life regression therapy, and author, Jacob uses his extensive personal and professional experience to empower one soul at a time. Jacob Cooper, welcome. Welcome to Strategies for a Living.
Oh, such a big honor to be here with you guys and to be joined by listeners tuning in. I couldn't thank you enough.
Oh, you are quite welcome. Well, we thank you for this wonderful book, Life After Breath, and now the new book, The Wisdom of Jacob's Ladder. And, you know, let's start there. You had a...
Well, I have to chuckle because here it is, three-year-old Jacob climbing up a ladder, right? And then he has a near-death experience and comes back with this wisdom of Jacob's ladder.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
You know, the universe could be very allegorical, very symbolic, and quite humorous, too.
Yeah.
Yes, it can.
The universe does indeed have a sense of humor. All right, so talk a little bit about what happened with you, Jacob. Your NDE, for anybody that most people know, NDE is near-death experience. Lots of people have had them now. You mentioned, I mentioned Raymond Moody, who endorsed your book, called it a clear, remarkable illustration. Dr. Raymond Moody kind of coined the phrase NDE, did he not?
Yes. It's great that you mentioned him because I probably wouldn't be talking on radio shows without his groundbreaking and daring work. You know, he was a clinical psychologist and he went on a limb to really diagnose near-death experiences through a lot of encounters and working in academia. But he was able to formulate an outline and diagnostic criteria. But, you know, NDEs have been here for thousands of years, but Raymond and, you know, his book in 1975, Life After Life, which really Life After Breath was a homage to his title in many ways, coined the term. And I'd say if you name it, you could tame it. So I give him all the credit for paving the way for us.
So what happened with you? You were a little guy. What tell us a little bit about your experience.
Yeah. Well, this was, you know, I'm going to take you back to September of 1993, and right now I'm 34 years old, but I was just 3 years old, and I grew up, you know, in a Jewish family, and we were just about to prepare ourselves for the High Holiday, and one of the points of the High Holiday is called the Day of Atonement, a day in which the soul is, you know, really getting itself ready to meet the Creator.
Right.
You know, little did I know that I was going to meet the Creator, but it was far beyond the bounds of religion or a synagogue. It was more of a direct basis.
Yeah.
But I went to a playground with family friends at the time. I had a condition called pertussis, otherwise known as whooping cough, which for children, infants, and even adults could lead to fatalities if left untreated. And I went to a playground and, like I said, climbed the ladder on a slide, and I just began to suffocate due to this cough. And, you know, when you're suffocating, you're deprived of oxygen, unless you're on some type of ventilator, and even we've seen with COVID, that was a little bit dicey too, the body can't function without oxygen. And so all parts of my body, you know, were just shutting down due to deprivation of oxygen. And the last thing that I remember myself feeling was my brain just totally deprived of oxygen. Mm. And I felt this incredibly loud crack within my brain. And it's just kind of like the saying goes, my brain cracked open, and that's when God came in. And I felt myself lifting out of my body, surrendering and going upwards to heaven at an infinite pace where there's no limitations of how good I felt and how high I was feeling. And, you know, I was able to really encounter so much on the other side that included contact with my guardian angels, which are beings that we are contracted before we come into this body.
Now, you mentioned being raised in the Jewish culture. Does the Jewish culture do they talk about guardian angels at all?
To a degree, you know, and we speak about it as angels we do speak about in the Old Testament, but it's certainly not something that I was brought up learning. I could tell you that factually.
Right.
And, you know, elements of my NDE were certainly not things that I was brought up or even was privy to at the young age of 3 years old. And I think, you know, it's important for viewers to understand that, you know, I'm often asked, like, was it your three-year-old that was experiencing this, or was it something else? And I could say that it was my soul. I mean, the soul is never a chronological age. I think it experiences itself and expresses itself temporarily through the body and chronological age, but the soul is timeless and ageless.
Yeah.
And this was a direct experience of my soul. And everything that I was experiencing was a familiarity. It was not foreign to me, but you know, I experienced, like I said, my spirit guides were just so absolutely beautiful. I saw angels all around me, you know, at the playground on that day that were, you know, looking down on the situation. I was aware of my soul family, had awareness of previous lifetimes, and even, you know, a point where I was aware of God in a representation of this beautiful palace that was so immaculate to look at. I had to like shield my eyes and it was and beyond. So
I can't even imagine what a three-year-old mind, I mean, how a three-year-old mind, how that impacts you, how you handle that. I mean, wow, Jacob.
Yeah, well, what I'll say is most, you know, kids and infants are just coming back from the other side into this body.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's a lot more familiar. There's a lot less barriers, and it's a familiar world. Whereas when we're in the human body, we have that forgetfulness or that amnesia often. So it was a lot, I would say, I would push back, where it was a lot of an easier transition because I had a lot less human stuff and human stories.
Yeah.
But even still, it wasn't, you know, it was an adjustment to the other side.
Yeah.
It's something that sticks with me each day. But, you know, I think part of why I'm able to remember it is just the, for many reasons, I do think the trauma that I had in completely suffocating and not being able to like hold or grasp onto life was a part of it, as well as I do believe if you're meant to remember something, you will.
Right.
And this was something that I was certainly meant to remember. I remember very little about my childhood other than experiences beyond this world. Mm-hmm. And this was certainly, you know, one of those experiences.
Yeah.
What I would imagine would be harder was when you came back and having, you know, had that experience and that awareness and being able to interpret that and share that at all, especially at three.
Yeah.
And as you grew up.
That was hard. I mean, there's a misconception that infants or kids, when they have their NDEs, they'll be like a kid from heaven is for real and tell everyone in the world that they had it. And that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, according to near-death experience research, it takes around 2 to 3 decades for kids to really process, make sense, and have the vernacular to describe what happened to them. And that's about true. Like, I started really sharing my NDE probably in my early to mid-20s, so around almost over a decade ago. I which feels like hundreds of years ago that I've been doing this work, but it's only been, you know, around 10 years. What I would say was very difficult. My mother told me that I woke up in the hospital bed, you know, because I was rushed by the ambulance to the hospital, and I just had so much rage in me where I just literally kicked a doctor and ran around the room because I just and I think a lot of that had to do with the intensity of the trauma, as well as not being able to express what happened to me in words. You know, the suffocating of the body was something that happened to me, but the suffocating of the ability to express myself was something that lasted quite a long time.
Yeah. I read about your anger in the book, and I had to wonder, please forgive me for this, but I had to wonder, what was the kid pissed off because he had to come back?
Mm-hmm.
Partially too.
Yeah.
You know, I would say for sure. I mean, it looks a lot better over there than it does over here. It's like when you're over there, it's like, oh my God, it looks so easy and seamless. Like, yeah, let's do it. And you get rah-rahed up, and then you come here. It's like, oh geez, what did I just do?
Yeah. Did your spirit guides encourage you to come back, Jacob? I mean, did they tell you that you had work to do, or what was the deal there?
No, which is rare. I mean, most people, when they have their near-death experiences, they're told, you know, it's not your time. There's there's more reasons for you to be here. Your power, your influence is better suited over there than over here, than over there sometimes, over here on the other side sometimes. Mm-hmm. For me, it was full autonomy, and that was the most difficult decision I had to make in my life. And, you know, no regrets, but I just asked, if I do stay, you know, why am I here? You know, what is this life about? And then I was shown a visualizations in what's called a life review of things that I did in my life as well as in past lives, but also understood through the eyes of another. But this life review had, I had the ability to have premonitions of the work that I would be doing in this life. And I saw myself speaking in front of a great deal of people, and which has happened. I've spoken in front of several hundred people, and I've done countless interviews. And, you know, I don't say this on an egotistical basis. I just said, as beautiful as the other side is, you know, it's even more beautiful to be, you know, there for others. And much like, you know, the allegory of Mandy, I was just a kid in a playground. And that's really symbolic of all we are. We're just the children of God playing at God's playground as our brothers and sisters keeper, here to hopefully make this world a better place for our surroundings.
That's a wonderful way to say it. Jacob Cooper is our life strategist today. He's the author of Life After Breath, How a Brush with Fatality Gave Me a Glimpse of Immortality. He's also the author of The Wisdom of Jacob's Ladder. Jacob Cooper is our life strategist today here on Strategies for Living. We've got a lot more to learn, so don't go away. Stay right where you are. More strategies coming back. You're going to see the difference when you go to Azalea Cleaners. You'll hear about it, too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it, too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road. Plus, the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP to 249-8283 and Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com.
Hi, this is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail, and you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
Facing the same old problems day to day makes you wanna holler, get away. Looking for the road that'll get me there. Looking for hope and peace to spare. Looking for strategies, strategies for leaving radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for leaving radio.
And welcome back in to Strategies for Living Radio here on 1017 FM. 710 Keel, Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan with Jacob Cooper, licensed clinical social worker and the author of Life After Breath, How a Brush with Fatality Gave Me a Glimpse of Immortality. He's also written The Wisdom of Jacob's Ladder, and you can find Jacob's books wherever you buy books, and I hope you will do that.
I think Jacob also has a podcast.
Right? You do have a podcast, don't you, Jacob?
I do. It's available on YouTube as well as in a network called the MindBodySpirit.fm with an individual named Diane Ray, who was formerly with Hay House Radio. Yeah. So, we're on YouTube as well as MindBodySpirit.fm for my podcast. And we have some fascinating guests, including Raymond has been one of our guests in the past.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. So, what's been most challenging for you as you have tried to integrate? I mean, I don't even have the words, I don't guess, to say that this was a profound experience. Just seems like, you know, it's not not enough. But what's been the most challenging part of attempting to integrate your profound experience into your everyday life, Jacob?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's almost kind of like, and I'm Jewish, but I'll give an example of like Moses going up to Mount Sinai and getting all this channeled information and coming back down and seeing all the destruction, you know, and human stuff that people have. And I don't mean to sound self-aggrandizing. I am not Moses by any measures. But I would say just how disconnected a lot of people are and how forgetful people are of who they really are. And but I think the saving grace for myself was living with something so powerful deep within. And I would say, as Picasso would say, like something like the meaning of life is to find your gift, and the purpose of it is to give it your way. And it took me some time to recognize that this, what I had, was a gift, because it made life quite challenging. All of a sudden, to be a kid, what is every kid prescribed is just to be normal. And when you're experiencing the paranormal, you know, no one understands you. You feel very isolated and alone and disenfranchised. So I had to really learn how to like push this beach ball down to survive. But to thrive, I had to allow this experience to come to the surface at a certain point in time and to have meaning and to understand that it went far beyond myself.
Yeah. One of the things that I appreciated you did in Life After Breath was you shared a lot of your own personal struggles, even in preparing and passing the exam, you know, the exam that you have to take for licensure. That was not an easy task. You write about it in the book, and, you know, we won't have to go over. People can get and read it themselves. But my point is that some people might from afar look and say, oh, this guy's had an NDE. This guy has seen the other side and come back. His life must be easy.
Yeah. And anything but that. And I think I did that with intention, because I would do a lot of public presentations and people would put me on such a pedestal that the experience would be so unrelatable. And, you know, well, yes, you know, you know, when you do see someone, you want some inspiration, but I think the bigger thing that leads to traction is relatability, that you should be able to see yourself in that person. And that's kind of what Jesus would say, the kingdom of heaven in me is in you too. Yeah. And so I really try to really ground myself as much as I can so that hopefully people could remember who they are and be more relatable. And people ask me all the time, like, how do you want to be remembered? I say, it's not important for me to be remembered, but I hopefully through my books and my sharings that people are able to remember who they really are, that they're infinite, eternal, special beings far beyond their own comprehension. And my near-death experience was just a small preview and a memory of that. But my childhood had a lot of turbulence and difficulty, and it just wasn't always easy. But, you know, sometimes you have to go through the dark stuff to remember what you have inside of you. And the near-death experience is an allegory for that, where in many ways you have to go through it to see the light behind, you know, all the darkness.
It's interesting you talk about being raised in a Jewish household. You just mentioned Jesus, who obviously himself was Jewish.
He was probably more Jewish than I am. Yeah.
I mean,
from the Holy Land and everything.
Yeah, and everything. But I'm wondering if you had any message, you know, how your did your NDE share any light on our attempts to define God? I mean, that's what religions are. They're human attempts to wrestle, if you will, with the divine. Yeah. How did your NDE, if at all, kind of impact your understanding of our struggles with religion?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think from day one, and maybe this isn't intentional, but children are very disempowered. They're taught, hey, you're small, you know nothing, you know, rely on people who are bigger than you for things. And so that model continues itself when it comes to wisdom, when it comes to, you know, religion or understanding of God, that someone bigger or greater than me must have this possessiveness that small me does not have. And, you know, spirituality is very empowering. It really allows people to really understand that each person has their own divine spark, their own connection to the divine. They have an eternal soul, and they're able to really look inward. It's not to say that we can't all learn from each other. We can, but that should not be the primary source or the dependent source. It should be something that just should just add on, you know, some of our own basis of understanding. So I think the foundation of people looking outward is more of the religious perspective, and the prospect of people turning within is more of the spiritual orientation. And I think if more people were able to remember that they indeed have a connection, that they indeed have a light, that they have a responsibility to uphold and to shine that light, this world would be a much different place. But there's a lot of separation that religions could create and a lot of group consciousness. And, you know, spirituality, I think, is more in alignment with oneness or the we consciousness or the universality. And it really seeks the understanding that, you know, we may be different in our own ways. Oneness does not mean sameness. But at the end of the day, at our phyla, at our core, we are indeed one. And we're here to try to do that. And just as a planet needs a sun to go around, so too does each person need to connect to their light for this life to work.
Yeah.
So how would you encourage people who haven't had an NDE, how would you encourage them to cultivate that kind of wisdom and perspective?
Yeah, it's funny you ask that, because I people want self-induced NDEs, it seems, all the time. And I just have to give a lot of pushback for that, because for many different reasons.
Yeah.
But I would say is you don't have to go through trauma or suffocate to remember heaven. I would say it's just, you know, you have to just live aware. You have to pay attention. Just be gentle with yourself and the prospect. And you'll find a lot of winks from God or winks from heaven. I mean, you know, it's just a part of it is paying attention, but it's just like this gentle opening of this door, and you feel this soft wind. It's a gentle tap on your shoulder. It's not oftentimes like Whoopi Goldberg in the movie Ghost, like something with Patrick Swayze and everything. It's not like profound like that, but you know, it can be, but it doesn't have to be.
Right.
And, but I would say is just getting out of your own way, that you don't have to see yourself as you could be very ordinary on a human level, and you could still experience the extraordinary. In fact, those very ordinary people are the ones who experience the extraordinary.
Yeah, just finding.
But by quieting the mind and letting go is a start.
Yeah.
It just sounds like what I'm hearing you say is to find the magic in the mundane. You know, as long as you're present, you'll see it.
Yeah, well, that was my Jewish. We have what's called a bar mitzvah portion. When you're 13 years old, you have to read a part of the Old Testament. My reading was called Kedoshim, which means holy, and one of it is, it's really about creating the mundane to be the sacred.
Mm.
And I think there's a big spirituality these days is almost a religion, because there's this boxed in set of rules as what's spiritual and what is not. And to me, that becomes almost religious.
Right.
But people ask me, what's spirituality? And I'd say, find enthusiasm. And you say, what do you mean by enthusiasm? I'd say, enthusiasm comes from that Greek word entheos, which means the divine within. So each person has their own joy that makes them enthusiastic. When you connect to joy, you connect to God. Hmm. And that's a subjective pathway that each person could find.
When you're speaking, either to groups or to individuals, and you encounter skepticism, as I know you have.
Right.
How do you answer that? What do you say to anybody who is skeptical and says, "Oh, mm-hmm. you know, you must have just imagined this. This was 3-year-old imagination, right?"
Yeah. Well, I applaud it. I encourage it. I think that's a very safe place for people to come at this. Because much like Raymond says, you know, all this is just a courtroom of the afterlife, and people have to come to their own conclusions. So I don't try to ram stuff down people's throats. That's what people in many ways have run away from. Mm. And so the last thing I want to do is to invoke, you know, people going from the frying pan to the fire kind of thing.
Right.
So I think that's a very healthy vantage point to have. And I say, don't believe in me. Find a way for yourself to believe in you, to believe in spirit. But what I would say is just look at my experience and other experiences. And from a material reductionalist standpoint, it really doesn't make sense that if my body and my brain aren't functioning, how am I supposed to have all this memory and profound experiences if indeed the brain and the body does produce life as material reductionalists will view it. So, you know, I think a lot of people come from it because they may be scared of having the whole world turned upside down and changed. And change is a big fear. But I think growth-oriented minds look at change with curiosity, not fear.
We are talking to Jacob Cooper today. His book is Life After Breath and The Wisdom of Jacob's Ladder. You can find his books where you buy books. And I hope you will, but stay with us. We've got more to learn from Jacob Cooper today. He's our life strategist here on Strategies for Living. We'll be right back.
From the bayou to your table, we're keeping it alive with flavors from the family passed down to survive. The Godfather's here with a twist in the tail. Alligator Italian sausage, and it sure won't fail. It's the boss of the bayou, a taste you can't refuse. Italian tradition, Cajun infused. Godfather sausage, bold and true. But Andre's bringing the bayou to you.
Get the Godfather Alligator Italian Sausage only at Fertitta's Delicatessen, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport. Pick up a Muffy while you're there. The Godfather Alligator Italian Sausage. It's a taste you can't refuse. Sold only at Fertitta's, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport.
Dealing with stress? Pain? Feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference balanced wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's, thebalancedlife.us.
Life gets hard along the way. Gotta get through it day by day. We get strategies right here. Strategies for Living Radio. Our dose of radio rehab. Strategies for Living Radio.
And welcome back into Strategies for Living Radio here on 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. We're with Jacob Cooper today. He's the author of Life After Breath. And also The Wisdom of Jacob's Ladder. You may want to get those together wherever you buy books. Or check out Jacob's website.
Yeah, jacoblcooper.com.
Okay. And
he said he's on social media too, right?
Yeah. So you've got a YouTube presence and you've got your podcast and you're all over the place there, Jacob. Good for
you. We try to be. Well, thank you. I'm following your lead, David, and you too. Yeah.
So, okay. So Life After Breath is a compelling book. It's one that I found a little hard to put down. So you owe me some sleep, Jacob, because I read at night. Life After Breath, you wrote it. And then you came along with the wisdom of Jacob's Ladder. What's the difference between, how would you describe the difference between these two books? What are you doing different in wisdom of Jacob's Ladder?
Yeah, if people are familiar with the concept of karma and dharma, that I would say would summarize the difference between the two. Karma is more of our story that we have. And, you know, my first book is more of that memoir focused, and the Dharma is more the meaning and the purpose. Hmm. So, you know, the first book is more of the story of my near-death experience and what happened to me. How did I live after it? And how did I thrive and survive after experiencing what I did? And, you know, the wisdom of Jacob's Ladder is kind of like rungs of a ladder. Hmm. You know, it's a guidebook where how people could really cultivate consciousness of the hereafter and some of the lessons that I, in pillars of lessons that I had, you know, from coming up the mountain of my NDE, so to speak, you know. Yeah.
So they very much, the two books very much go together.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, you could probably read one without the other, but I think they do complement each other quite well.
Yeah.
I have a question as a psychotherapist to a psychotherapist.
Yes.
So how do you integrate your spiritual insights into your traditional therapy?
That's a really good question. You know, I've been very fortunate right now for the profession of therapy to really have a big change without the last several years. You know, I've noticed that they've been a lot more open towards Eastern practices, mind-body practices. So things like somatic therapy, mindfulness, you know, are all kind of infiltrated. So I've been able to benefit from that. And there's a lot more liberty and autonomy to engage in those practices.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there's a big tenet of meeting your clients where they're at, where not every patient is open to this stuff or wants to hear it. And so, you know, I think part of it is really learning. I view being a therapist as one of the closest jobs to embodying a spirit guide. And I don't say that to really puff up therapists, but it's really about learning how to
champion. It makes sense to me. It's in the name itself.
Yeah.
Psychotherapy, soul healing.
Yeah.
It's really learning how to have unconditional love and understanding for another. And just to me, it made the most logical sense out of any route out of college. But I do come from three generations of different therapists and counselors. So certainly within my blood. But I on the macro level, I'm right now training a great deal of therapists to psychoeducate or spiritual educate them on these experiences. Because back in the day, with the information that they had, they would often stigmatize people who had near-death experiences or maybe mediumistic experiences.
Right.
And they would be put on a cocktail of psychotropic medications, and thus their gifts and their memories would be very bogged down. And so right now, what I try to do is differentiate psychosis with psychic. And so I do continuing educational trainings for therapists. So that's what I do more so on a global basis, but on a micro basis. You know, it's really allowed me to really understand the resilience that people have and how sometimes really to find your purpose. It's really a lot of it is related to something that might be painful or difficult. And to remind ourselves that we're not just the mind, we're not just the body, we have a spirit.
Yeah.
And I believe that the solution is the solution. And when clients are able to really get in touch with a greater part of themselves, which existential crisis could be a breeding ground for, you know, they're able to navigate their lives, you know, a lot more effectively when there's a power that they know that is indestructible within their lives. And so hopefully that's something that I try to do with clients is just to really allow themselves to tap into something greater than their own challenges.
You know, Jacob, in spite of your wonderful books, and by the way, folks, their Life After Breath and the Wisdom of Jacob's Ladder, that's Jacob Cooper's books. In addition to your books, there have been hundreds of books out there on near-death experiences, and yet people remain fearful.
Yes.
People remain fearful of death and dying.
And the unknown.
And the unknown. What do you, how do you use your experiences to help all of us who are afraid of death, afraid of dying, afraid of the unknown?
Yeah. Well, I would say exposure therapy is a big part of how people can overcome almost any fear. So instead of running away from the fear, like finding curiosity with it, potentially looking at it step by step gradually, you know, is important. And I think the more that we push things away, the more that we fear, and the more that we're able to look at things head on, the more possibility we could take those same things, the great deal of trepidation, to look at them in an entirely different way. But I would say the moment you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, as Dr. Wayne Dyer would always say. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it makes logical sense to fear the unknown, and it makes logical sense to fear losing yourself if all you see yourself is a body. Mm-hmm. But I think being able to challenge that, because I'll ask people, okay, who are you? They'll point to their body. I said, are you really just that? Because I see you in a chair. I see you in a room. I see you in a building, in a state, in a country, in a globe. So just on a physical basis, you are so much less than how you see. Just imagine the possibility of the things that you can't see and how much more you are of those things.
Yeah.
So physically, we're really not all that we think we are. We're so much more. And that breeds itself some space for people to start to see themselves in other ways. But I would start with, you know, explorers. How did they know the world was round? Well, they got daring and they explored, and that's how they found that the world was not flat. And the same applies with spiritual awakenings. You have to be curious. You have to be open to start to look at things in a different way. And it's often crises, such as loss of a loved one or traumatic events or challenges that allows, in many ways, forces one to really reevaluate reality as they know it.
Yeah, I often say on this show, mainly I'm saying it to myself, if I live to be 105, and I hope I do, mm-hmm. I want to be a curious student right up through the time of transition, you know?
Yeah, and you are that, you know, so thank you. That's a great example that you live.
The books are The Wisdom of Jacob's Ladder and Life After Breath. You can find Jacob Cooper's books where you buy books. You can go to jacoblcooper.com, and I hope you will. And we'll be back in a moment to conclude our conversation today with Jacob Cooper here on Strategies for Living. Be right back. Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the
Absolutely
Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd, join the fun, become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. Mm-hmm. You get discounts on movies, you get concession upgrades, you get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center. .org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Donisa Walker with Learning RX Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending, Learning RX Shreveport offers a science solution to reading problems, working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call Learning RX Shreveport. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does Learning RX Shreveport.
We all have problems every day. We all need help along the way. We need strategies, strategies, strategies for living radio.
And welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren and David and Jacob Cooper today. His books, The Wisdom of Jacob's Ladder and Life After Breath, great books. Go to jacoblcooper.com to continue the conversation. Jacob, what do you want to leave us with today here on Strategies? What do you really want people to remember about this conversation?
Well, first of all, I'm having this conversation as someone who has survived physical death and can tell you that there is a death of the body, but never of a soul. That you, I, and everyone that we know are eternal, infinite beings having temporary human experiences, and we will go on. And the second thing is life random? Is life purposeful, or is life working against us? We're all questions posed by Albert Einstein. And I would say, if anything else, take my near-death experience. Life is not random. You are not random. You have a purpose. You have an impact on this world. You're here for a reason, and you are part of a greater Earth school that all of our souls are a part of, here to evolve, grow, and elevate your surroundings.
Sounds like you've given that answer a time or two before. Good job, Jacob Cooper. Thank you so much. I hope you will come back and join us again here on Strategies for Living. You've been a great life strategist.
Yeah.
Thank you both. I certainly appreciate this flowing and insightful conversation. Thank you.
Thank you for your work.
We can only do it with great life strategists like you, Jacob. Hey, folks, thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Strategies for Living. And go get Jacob Cooper's books, Life After Breath and The Wisdom of Jacob's Ladder. Thank you for being here with us, and we appreciate our sponsors making it possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, and some pretty good Muffies, too. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make, who would you call? And what would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Jacob Cooper and for Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.